Each and every day. We thank you for those that you bring into your house and for those that accept you, Lord. And we ask that all that hear this message will understand and take the words that are spoken today into their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not sure where I'm going to go with it, but it's communication, simple word, letting others know what's happening, finding out information. It's communication, whether it's written or verbal, or through audio from what you hear. Communication is the basis of being with the Lord also. We communicate verbally, we communicate with our minds, and we communicate with our spirits. No answers can be received unless we communicate. Words unspoken are of no use. To be able to find the answers, we have to communicate. To find the messages that the Lord would have us receive, we either have to hear it or read it for ourselves. Reading is a form of communication. It's the way the Lord communicates His Word to us in a form where we can move around His Word and look and find answers. And that's the whole reason for communication, is to get the answers. I know I'm not always the best person at communication. Usually when I'm not communicating and I'm not looking for those answers, or I want answers but I'm not communicating my questions, it's when I get angry or depressed or just generally get a feeling of uselessness. And it's that lack of communication. You may still be angry after you communicate. You may not like the answers you get. But if it's the word of the Lord is your answer, it doesn't matter if you get angry or not. God's answers are not always things that make us feel good. I know I get into the Word sometimes and it's like, duh, I didn't want to read that. Because now I have to do something with it. I have to love one of my brothers that I don't particularly want to. I have to witness to somebody and I don't want to. But it doesn't matter what I want. It's what the Lord wants. Amen? So let us communicate in all forms.
Oh, my own, my heart can turn as hard as a stone. Well, good morning, everybody. Oh, boy. Well, I was going to preach on a couple of verses. I may yet get to them. But, here listening to Bob, I wanted to turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to start reading at about 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now, in every situation you find yourself in, you know, walking around, you have a choice. You can choose how you're going to react to the situation. You can choose, you know, your attitude about it. I mean, what we need to do is to replace that old, sinful, you know, natural responses that we have, you know, with new attitudes, really, is what it comes down to. I mean, put off your old self, which is just corrupted by its deceitful desires, and put on that new man, which is, it was created like God in righteousness. I lost it. Oh, here it is. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You want to replace evil with good, worry with faith, despair with hope, anger with love, suspicion with trust, confusion with wisdom and a sound mind. Now, why don't we do that? Why is this so hard? It's that flesh, right? Let's turn over to Romans 8. I might start at the end of 7, but let's get over there. Yeah, I'm going to start at chapter 7, verse 21. Yeah, 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I mean, one of the reasons why it's so hard for us to change these attitudes is we keep looking back, right? We see that old man ever before us. He's right there. We've had so many years of practice responding in a way that, you know, is that natural response that I mentioned, that it's hard to break that habit, right? We've got to create some new habits. We got to start learning what it is that Jesus would have us do. We got the book. We got the written communication. It's right here before us. Let's get into it. Let's know it. Now we say that we buried that old man. Reckoned him dead. Just like that dead cat Davey was talking about. We go over there, pull it up by the tail, take a look at it, right? We got to stop doing it. Just got to stop doing it, right? I'm going to read chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're living in shame and guilt over these past failures that you've had, you're needlessly condemning yourself when you ought to be forgetting what is behind and striving toward what is before you. We must understand that our hope is found in Christ alone. There isn't anything we can do in the flesh. Faith in what He did, faith in Him on the cross, not what we did or what we didn't do. Just move forward, believing Him, receive His forgiveness, mercy, and grace. Amen.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that I got some boys back. Yay! Last week we talked about, or I talked about, how to become a friend of God. And the way to become a friend of God is through service. Because you have to be a servant of God before you can be a friend of God. And how do you learn to serve God? Well, you serve Him through those that He has over you. Now, this is directly against human nature because human nature doesn't want anybody over us. We are our own gods. And we don't want any other gods in our lives. Especially these gods that walk around and got all kinds of failures. Now, I'm referring to gods with a little G. But God, that is with a big G, has given us teachers and evangelists, and pastors, prophets and apostles to teach us how to serve God. And the best way to do that is by serving one another and serving those whom He puts over you. And that brings us to this point where the Lord says that we're to be like Him. Not as the world, but like Him. Amen? Scott, I'm going to ask you to read for me John chapter 8, starting with verse 3. Yeah, it's in there. It was there last week anyway.
All right. Verse 3, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set in the midst, they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such would be stoned. But what
should be stoned.
yes, should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not.
Okay, hold just a minute. Now, what is interesting is they bring this woman who is caught in the very act of adultery. Now, I don't know, but I think it takes two people to be caught in the act of adultery. It takes more than one. I can't adulterate. Well, maybe I could. You can't commit adultery unless you got somebody else to commit it with. So what happened to the man? We don't know. It doesn't matter. But I just want to bring that out, and we'll talk about it later. Go ahead.
Verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
All right, now here is the difference between the nature of man and the nature of God. The nature of man sees someone do something wrong and they want to accuse them. They want to punish them because it makes them feel better. It makes them feel righteous. But Jesus, who was righteous and is righteous and the only righteous, said, I don't accuse you. I don't condemn you. See, the nature of God is not to condemn. The nature of God is to forgive and to offer through this forgiveness a way where you can change. But you got to receive it. You've got to accept it. And you can't accept it unless you believe it. You must believe God is a forgiver of sin. And when you go to Him and ask for forgiveness, He does it. He gives it to you. And it's weird because I was caught, let me put it that way. I was going to say I caught myself, but actually I was caught one night a while back praying for the Lord to forgive me of all my sins. Now, it doesn't sound bad, does it? But if you prayed for 30 years for God to forgive you all your sins, I realized that was a prayer of unbelief. Because if I ask God to forgive me my sins this day, tomorrow, why would I ask again? They're already forgiven. Is it not sufficient to ask God to forgive you the sins for that day and deliver you from the evil one that you may go forward in Him? Why do we look back? Why do we draw it always up in our own face and do the devil's work for him? It's because of the nature of man. It's that sin nature in the flesh, which is corrupt. But we're going to go forward. Those that hear this message and can receive it, they're going to go forward and forget the past. And they're going to start walking in the now. They're not going to worry about tomorrow. They're not going to worry about the past. There's enough evil today to have to battle with. Amen. And when you catch yourself wanting to accuse somebody of sin, remind yourself that you are a sinner. Your sin may not be the same sin as the one you want to accuse. Your sin may not, in your eyes, be as bad as the one you want to accuse. But remember, with God, sin is sin. And it all comes from the root of pride. So it matters not how large your sin is or how small your sin is. It's sin. And why would we accuse someone else? But rather love them and offer them the forgiveness of the Lord. Amen? That's all I got to say.
I found a new way of living. I found a new life divine. I got the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding, abiding in the vine. I'm abiding in the vine, abiding in the vine. Love, joy, health, peace, Jesus made a vine. I've got prosperity, power, and victory, abiding, abiding in the vine.
you, Lord Jesus. We ask that you be with us each day. We love you so much, Lord. Thank you for your sacrifice for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.